With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We're back. This is one we've been looking forward to for, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. You sent me a message on Instagram, and Henry's Weather Channel came up. It was tracking the flooding going on the coast in southern Maine. And we're like, we've got to get this guy. He's all over it. He's doing weather a little bit differently than what we've seen for the last, 42 years of my life. And really excited to have Henry on. Henry, thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, man, it's great to have you. I remember I was just telling the story in a second ago. Somehow you popped into my feed when we were talking about something, and I ended up telling Gibby, like, we gotta get this guy on. He's awesome. But I think for me, like, I actually love weather. As weird as that might sound to like love a thing like that, I'm sure you obviously agree. But like, I used to pay for a weather app, Dark Sky, and then Apple bought it and folded it in. Like, I like to be outdoors, so I like to know what's going on out there so I can be as comfortable as possible when I'm doing whatever I'm doing. So it's like, I check it every morning, literally, even if I don't know where to go. I just kind of like knowing the weather. So we haven't touched this space yet, I don't think at all, Gibby, right?
No, this is brand new for us. So yeah. Henry, tell us a little bit about like where your passion came from and when you got started specifically, because your social media following is growing by the day. So where did you get started? When did this start to take off for you?
Yes. I've like always been into weather. When I was younger, like 10 years old, it was the snowstorms that really drew me in. Like Nemo, when we had Nemo back, back years ago, and in the winter of 2014, 2015, when we got like 4 blizzards in a row, that was just incredible.
That was nuts.
Yes. I was always into it. And then when I was in high school, all my friends knew I was into weather. So they were like, Henry, you should start a weather account on Instagram. Because they wanted to know if we were going to have like a snow day. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll start one. So I started one actually. And then everybody started following it. And then that's when it, became Henry's Weather Channel. And I was back in late 2017, early 18.
You were the weather hookup for the snow days. That makes a lot of sense now, because we were talking earlier too about weather's been done the same way for years now. You turn on the news or somebody in front of a green screen, and they're just kind of like, we think this might happen. But that's interesting. I didn't think of that angle. Your buddies could come to you and be like, hey, what's the real deal? Like, what's going on with the storm? Are we going to get this thing or not?
Oh, yeah. They were always asking me like questions in the cafeteria at school. They're like, Henry, what's the deal? We're going to have a snow day.
That's awesome.
What tools are you using? You mentioned Nemo, but like other tools, or has that changed as you've progressed in terms of tracking the weather?
Yeah, so I use a lot. There's a lot of models online. It's weatherbell.com. So it's like a hub where all of the weather models are. So I study the models, and I pretty much self-taught my stuff, like how to read the models. I had some help like from a mentor about my same age. So he mentored me like for the first few years, but now I'm doing it myself. And each model has its own like bias, so you have to factor in all the biases that they have to make a forecast.
Interesting.
It's a lot of it's a lot of combining the models and putting a forecast together. It's a lot of looking at every single model before a storm.
It's a tough business in general, right? Like, I don't know if you follow like just forecasting in general, not even just weather, like anything. There are tournaments around the world where people are, they're called super forecasters, I believe. And they have these like challenges, and it's a really tough thing, because I think a lot of people hear like, okay, forecast, tell me exactly what's going to happen. And I'm wondering like, as you're pouring through these models and bringing them all together to create basically one data set.
Right.
What's your level of like comfortability with how off, quote unquote, the forecast could be? Like, Is it different from what we might see on like the local news? They're just sort of like giving you the middle of the range. Are you a little bit more aggressive, or how do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So like, when there's a storm, like storm threat 5 days out, I'm like all in. Like I go all in. I'm on my computer like 12 hours a day, because I want to provide the most accurate weather forecast for people. And I know that I can get a little bit ahead of the news stations on that. So I feel like usually I feel like my forecast is pretty accurate. There's some storms that is just very tricky, that up to like 24 hours before the storm, models will still not have a handle on it.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you just gotta go with, you know, your gut, take a good stab at it. But yeah,
and that's probably tough here too, because people in New England are like, I gotta know days in advance if I'm gonna get smoked with snow, and people get so mad. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, one thing I try to not to do is, a lot of times like the news stations will change their snowfall maps multiple times before a storm. I try to be like, I try to put 2 snowfall maps out max.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep changing the map around, because then people won't think you're reliable.
Yeah.
Smart. So I try to be consistent. And if I'm going to put a forecast out, even if that has to mean wait 24 hours before the storm, I'll wait, you know, to get an accurate forecast out.
If people know that about your cadence, then that's okay, right? Like they know, like you're putting the work in 12 hours a day, you're going to push out a forecast right before this thing. And it can be, because there's a lot of distrust with weather people. I think everybody, it's like a running joke, right? It's like,
You know,
they're just guessing. But I like that. Yeah. There's data involved with you actually trying to make sure you're doing it the way that gets us the best results. So
yeah, I'm not just going to like throw numbers out there and like not feel confident with it.
Do you track your predictions?
I do, yeah. So after the storm, I'll look back at the snowfall reports. Yep. And I'll look back and compare it with my snowfall map and actual reports. And I'll post that too.
Love it. Transparency.
That's and nice. I'll admit if I'm a little off too.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that the last storm in New England, the last, you know, 4 inches or 6 inches, you were beating yourself up. I was like, Henry, give yourself a break. You wanted to be as accurate as humanly possible. It's like, get it. It's a tough one to predict.
Right.
What have been some of your sort of craziest adventures? You're also tracking and going to these places where storms have either just occurred or are occurring. What are some of the craziest places you've gone, or you felt like I'm white knuckle driving trying to get here?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the first one, it really started this summer. Like this past summer was the summer where I really started getting into storm chasing and like making it like a big thing. That would have to be like the Vermont flooding. That was back in July, and that was unbelievable, because I woke up the morning of, and I looked on Twitter, and I looked at all of the storm and flooding reports, and I knew I had to get up there. So I actually like literally just left my house. I told my mom I'll be back later in the day, and I went up there. It was in Ludlow, Vermont, and I couldn't get into town. The whole town was blocked off. There was feet of water from the rivers. It was just completely flooded. So I actually took the back roads. It took me like 4 hours to get there when it normally takes 2.5. And I sent my drone up, and it was unbelievable. Flooding everywhere, like buildings, cars washed away. It was nuts.
You don't see that in New England, like typically, right? Like, you know, that those amounts of flooding.
I feel like we don't see a lot of drone footage either in general. I'm kind of like surprised that, like, I feel like news channels aren't doing much of that. And I think it's the best vantage point. Sorry, Gibby, I cut you off.
They're definitely not. Like, I feel like, I mean, everybody likes to see different perspectives.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do. Cause I know when you get a perspective from the air like that, you know, nobody else is going to have an angle like that. So I feel like that was huge out Vermont. When that flooding event was the first event that really like kind of made the account grow bigger for sure.
Yeah. So, go ahead. I cut you off a minute ago.
No. I was just wondering, right, in terms of global weather, global warming, like, you know, different climate changes, et cetera. Like, what are your thoughts on it? Has this changed drastically even since you've been doing it, or have you noticed any marked increases?
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying, like, climate change, it's definitely happening. Even when I was younger, like, in elementary school, every winter we used to have snow. I mean, now we like get some snow and then it gets washed away, or sometimes we have winters which we really don't get any snow. But like the flooding, I've never seen anything like that. Like especially like for 6 months straight during the summer, just having flooding events every month. It felt like, I mean, Vermont flooding, the Hampton flooding, the Maine flooding that we got. It's just all of that within less than a year is just unbelievable.
If you look at it logically like that too, do you have a stance or do you have a take on why it seems people are so fired up around the discourse of climate change? Like it's such a hot button issue for people. Yeah. And it's kind of, to me, it's kind of like, well, the proof is literally right in front of you. Like, do you have a stance on that? What do you think there?
I honestly don't know why people like keep like denying it. I mean, it's, you can clearly see it's happening.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure why. I guess people just don't want to like believe the facts.
And, yeah.
Science. Yeah, it's,
we got a lot of that.
So we don't touch too much politics here on the show, and that might be an underlying reason, but so I was also curious, any winter sports? I saw you snowboarding on Instagram. So is that part of like what drew you to weather? Was you were outside, you were skiing, snowboarding, etc.?
Yes, snowboarding like was cool. Yeah, I snowboard quite a bit, so I try to get out as much as possible. And yeah, it's definitely fun. Like I love going up to the mountains. You know, like the weather up there, they get more snow up there than down here in Mass usually. So it's, I'll go up there to storm chase, and sometimes when I storm chase up there, if there's like a little break, I might try to hit the mountain and go snowboarding. So that's pretty cool.
What's your favorite mountain?
I grew up snowboarding at Mount Sunapee.
Yep.
But I like a lot of them. Like Sugar Bush is good. Okemo in Vermont is a nice one.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all nice up there. You So safe to assume your favorite holiday is Christmas. Is that a safe assumption?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now I know you put on a pretty big notable Christmas light display.
Yeah, it was big this year. Yeah.
You do that every year. Does it grow? Like, where did that like come from? Like, cause it seems like a lot of fun. And I think about it every year. Gibby, you might actually be a light guy. And I'm like, I'm going to put lights up this year. And I'm like,
only up to like 2000 exterior.
Yeah. Walls. I just, I'm like, I don't have it.
To start.
Yeah. I don't have the passion to do it, but I wish I did. So I'm interested in like how you started doing that and how it became like a normal thing for you.
Yeah. So I've always been into like Christmas as well. Yep. So it started off small, like in 2015, 16, just a few lights in front of the house. And then every year it got bigger and bigger. So I just wanted to go bigger and bigger. And then this past year, or the year before this year, 2022, I was actually on a TV show, The Great Christmas Light Fight. And so they, it's a reality TV show. So I competed against three other families for $50,000.
What streaming service can we go back and find that on? Is that a
It's on ABC, Hulu,
okay,
Disney Plus. It's on, and it'll be in this year's episodes. Unfortunately, I did not win, but it was really cool. Well, like, just to be on a show.
If it hasn't aired yet, you said it hasn't aired yet.
It did air.
It did air. Okay, I was gonna say. Yeah,
I think we're spoiling.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say we could put some calls in and try to change the outcome for you, but we're gonna go back and watch that.
Yeah, it's one judge. So it was Tanya Nyack. She judges, like she's on HGTV.
Okay,
but it was cool because it showed the whole country like my lights, and they said even though I didn't win, it's a very small chance like just to get on a show. So the fact that I got on a show was pretty cool.
Yeah. I love that.
Human experience was neat. But yeah, this year there was 100,000 lights on a house. Took me 4 months to get up. I started in August getting them all up.
That is determination. That's discipline that I can't even fathom for anything in my life.
It was a ton of work. And I got a big donation this past spring from a family. That was an additional 50,000 lights. And I did donations to Boston Children's Hospital, and I raised $34,000 this past year for them.
It's incredible.
Sweet. That's
good
awesome
for you, man.
Thank you.
You're doing all the right stuff. I appreciate it.
I know. It makes me feel like, oh man, what am I doing today?
No, I know. We're failing in comparison.
But so Henry, I saw something on a Mass Live article about you wanting to get to the Midwest. I'm worried. Is this twisters? Are you talking about tornadoes that you want to go after?
Oh yeah, I got to chase some tornadoes. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, in theory, how many people chasing those tornadoes have the ability or access to or knowledge of how to properly track these storms? Like, can right. those be predicted? Like, or are they really just like, you don't know what you're going to get? Or is it pretty reliable in terms of the path?
I mean, when you chase a tornado, I've never chased one really. So it really depends. I mean, it can change direction so fast. Yeah. You can have a threat like a few days out and then try to target like a 100-mile zone, you know, the day of. But when you track them, you have to look at the radar. You have to look at, like, you know, the track they're taking and kind of intercept it. It's definitely a lot. It's a lot.
Sure. It's fun though. It'd be a rush. That would be a rush.
Definitely. Yeah. I would love to go out there and chase them someday.
Drop a drone right through it.
I would love to do that.
So are there any specific climates, like whether it's the US or world climates, that really interest you? I know you've spent, you know, most of your life, it seems like, in the Northeast.
Yeah.
But other climates that are intriguing for you?
Down south is interesting, you know, because they get the hurricanes. I would love to chase a hurricane too one day. And then the Great Lakes too. I mean, they get just monster lake effect snow. So I really want to try to get out there too.
Yeah. Now, to round you out a little bit here and change gears real fast, you are a current Guinness World Record holder.
I am, yeah. I am, but somebody beat my record a few years ago.
What's the name on that guy, girl, whoever?
Yeah, I forget the exact name.
Good,
but,
good.
Yeah, it was for the largest butternut squash. That was actually really cool because that my record is in the Guinness Book of World Records. Theirs is not, so I got that. That was
how great. How did that come to be? Was it like it just started growing out of control, or did you plan to grow the largest squash?
So yeah, I do like giant pumpkins too. So yep. That year I decided to do a butternut squash as well, and there's a specific seed. So I got this large butternut seed from another grower.
Okay.
His was 55 pounds, so I planted it. You know, I treated it just like I did with my giant pumpkins, and just happened to be 65 pounds.
Gotcha.
That was cool.
Have anything to do with like what you were giving it? I mean, you're not feeding them other than the soil, but like,
yeah. So there's a lot that goes into it. You give it like a lot of nitrogen fertilizer, potassium, a lot of heavy duty fertilizers.
Okay.
I mean, these pumpkins, you're not going to believe this. They grow upwards of 50 to 60 pounds per day. Per day, yeah.
That's a lot. That's crazy.
There's no HGH. There's no growth hormone.
No. But if you look at the pumpkin, like if you look, well, if you look at the squash, it's like this massive, like the root, not the root, the stem is like, it looks like it's such out of proportion that it almost doesn't even look like anything that you'd see in the ground. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, it's unbelievable, these things.
What are your friends and family saying when you started like your first huge pumpkin or squash? What's their reaction?
Oh, they thought I was crazy. They couldn't believe it at first. It was cool. I started that when I was 13 years old. So this upcoming year is going to be my ninth year. My personal best for the largest pumpkin I've grown is 1,197 pounds. But I feel like at this point, I should be, my personal best should be higher than that, but I have a lot of disease in my patch, so it's a little tough to battle.
Yeah, you got your work cut out for you. That's crazy, though. That's a great icebreaker.
Yeah.
That's one of those classic. If you ever, I know you're not really super interested in college, and I can't really blame you, but if you ever do find yourself into corporate America, that's a great about me truth and a lie type thing you could use. So you got that in your back pocket.
Yeah, it was quite. I grew a 17-foot sunflower too a few years ago. That was neat.
Man, love that. That's awesome.
It's incredible. So Henry, a couple last questions for you before we wrap up. But you know, let's say you're chasing a tornado, you're chasing a hurricane down the coast, and you know, look, I'm gonna eat now because I'm gonna try and track this thing for the next 4 hours. I'm not gonna get home for dinner. And you've got to pump up, make sure you've got a full gas tank in the car. What are you going to with your gas station snack? Because you need something.
Right. Yeah, I usually try to find a Dunkin', like at a gas station. There's a drive-through. Make it quick, because usually when I'm chasing something, it's got to be quick. You know, it's like I'm not speeding to get there, but I'm trying to get some good time to get to the store. Usually I do that like before though. But I'll stock up on like the Gatorades, you know, M&Ms. I like M&Ms.
Which ones? Which M&Ms specifically?
I like the regular ones.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So,
pistachios
too.
Pistachios.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've ever had pistachio as an answer. And it's a great answer.
I crave those.
People don't do it because there's a, like, you know, sunflower seeds are kind of like a smaller, easier thing, but the shells for pistachios, you really need both hands to get after those, unless you're buying the ones that are already shelled.
Most of the time, they're like already,
smart.
Already, yeah. Shelled. Yeah.
Efficient. Okay, nice play. Those are great.
Beef jerky too. Now you can't go wrong with that.
Yep.
So. Yep. So that's been the number one answer so far, good. But also a lightning rod answer. There are people that love it and have
way more polarizing than I assumed it would be.
Yeah.
So where can we find you, Henry? Where can our listeners go to, you know, find the most accurate weather forecast in New England? And what's next for you? Where are we going from here? Are you going to keep chasing storms? And what's happening in February in terms of New England winter?
Yeah, Punxsutawney Philly. Did he lie to us?
He's going to be wrong on this one.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. you're going to find me on Instagram at Henry's Weather Channel. And I'm also on Facebook, too. I'm like 50 followers away from 30,000. So,
yeah,
I'm trying to get sponsors because I'm not making any income right now off this, except my like merch, which is it's tough to sell merch.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get sponsors the you know, some sponsorships, so I'm working on that over the next few months. So yeah, I'm trying to keep the page growing, trying to keep it going. So
love that.
You're doing
it organically.
Work.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen organically, and people are gonna find you, and before you know it, you're gonna have offers, you know, begging you left and right.
Keep trying to, like, you know, people like the drone footage.
Yeah, so for sure.
Every time I chase a storm, you know, the drone is definitely it's good to have. It brings a different perspective, like that Hampton video in New Hampshire. That video, I think, has over 2.5 million views.
That was incredible.
So. Yeah, that was awesome. That was the watershed moment, no pun intended, for you, for sure.
And I thought like the Vermont one was crazy, but this Hampton one almost doubled it. So
yeah, I mean,
it was pretty cool seeing like engagement on that.
Yeah, it's fun.
You're doing great work, and your commitment and passion for accuracy is what's going to continue to drive this. And you know, we love following you. I know a lot of our listeners love following you, and, you know, keep doing what you're doing, Henry. And throw some peanuts in those M&Ms. Maddie will be even happier with you.
That's okay. I'm already a big fan of yours, so it's fine. But, you know, I wouldn't be mad if you branched over to the peanut M&M zone, just because, you know, they're so good.
Yeah, my dad likes those a lot. So.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. I'll count.
Yeah, I got that going for you.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
Well, we loved having you on, and thank you so much. And you're going to have to come back and give us, especially next year before the season starts, we want to hear what's going on with the Christmas lights. And we need like the full Farmer's Almanac, but Henry's Almanac.
Almanac. Yeah,
I'll tell you what to expect.
Late February into March of this year, the snow chances should definitely increase. So spring's going to be delayed this year.
That's no good. That's no good for golf. But all right, we trust you. Listen, that's the news, and we're going to have to just handle it as it comes. So we appreciate you being honest with us.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Henry. Good to have you, man.
Thank you. It was awesome to have you on.
Thank you.